The conversation with Ken Litchfield. We are in his office at the Kentucky New Era in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It is February 15th, 2001. My name is Ethel White. We could start with a little of your own background, a little biography. Could you just start from the beginning?
All right. I'm a native of Christian County. I was born 71 years ago, and I went to school, elementary school and high school, graduated at Singing Fork High, which has been consolidated since I left. It's still a elementary school now. And after high school, I had 2 years at Western Kentucky at Bowling Green, and then went into the Army for a 4-year tour, serving most of the time in Japan. This was during the Korean War. And then when my tour ended, I had my GI Bill and came back and went on up to the University of Kentucky to finish my bachelor's degree. I had 1 year left then on the GI Bill, so I went up to Columbus and got my master's in political science at Ohio State. During my Army tour, I had stationed for a while up at Columbus and took classes at night at Ohio State and enjoyed it so that I said, well, this is where I'm going to get my degree. And so that's where I wound up. After getting out of Ohio State and had employed them to look for me a job, we found an opening at the Courier Journal at Louisville. So I came down as a general reporter and stayed there about half a year, and decided I was married and had 2 children then in the family, wanted to come on back to Hopkinsville. And so I returned then and been here ever since.
Okay. Well then, since you are a long time resident in this area, can you paint a picture of what Christian County is like, and particularly what it was like, say, when you were growing up and as a young man?
Well, now, younger man. It's changed its aspects quite considerably. When I was growing up, it was strictly the center of an agricultural area. It dominated everything. All the businesses in town were farm-related. It was strictly an agricultural area. And so since then, we've been moving toward industrial growth. And it's really changed the situation in the whole community. And getting Fort Campbell opened in 42 at the beginning of World War II, and it is has a very major role in our development of Hopkinsville.
You mean economically?
Yes. Because of the nearby military base, and you can't realize what the effect of the economy is with Fort Campbell. And when things boom at Fort Campbell, well, it spreads up here. And so not only on sales of merchandise and homes and that, but it's just a whole general military community almost. Clarksville, Tennessee is just on the other side, and they're a little closer to it than we are, but it's Clarksville and Hopkinsville that dominate the Fort Campbell situation. Hopkinsville today is quite a switch from when I was growing up.
It's not the sleepy town, perhaps,
right,
that it once was.
And, of course, it's even going to be even more changed with the tobacco. You know, we had depended greatly on tobacco production, and now looks like that is going to be falling, and that will put us even more dependent on industrial development, which is gets all our attention in the development now in the city.
Are people scared?
No.
They're not afraid of what will happen when tobacco finally diminishes.
No, they'll just switch to something else, and it hadn't created any problems with the farmers.
What's the area like socially? I mean, social attitudes and mores?
Well, we're strictly got a southern flex on our personalities, and it's strictly we depend on southern lore and southern operations. It's you know, we're even more southern than the geographic location,
do you want me to pause this?
Please.
You were just talking about the southern flex.
Oh, yeah.
Here. I read something that the Kentucky New Era puts on the internet, which had to do with the history of Christian County. And there was a section in there where it talked about the divisions, for instance, during the Civil War, that the northern part of the county went for the north and the southern part of the county went for the south. And then it said that, then it talked about starting a black school system in 1870, in the 1870s, and then moving black people into political offices before the end of the 19th century. Can you embellish on that anymore? In other words, it sounds like a mixed picture, and I wonder whether there has been any fallout from those early developments.
No, I don't see any leftover characterizations from that. We're with this large black community. It's the southern traits are very apparent, that's been one of our problems in the civil rights programs because of that, and we've been gradually changing. You can see with so many new residents, that's what it influenced, changed the whole character of the community, with these people moving in from other areas. You know, that's one thing. Fort Campbell is a major factor in changing the characterization of this community. Look, people have come here and been stationed at Fort Campbell, and here I was talking about the economy and all. What's happened is brought all personnel. You know, they stay here, and then when they get ready to retire, they remain in this community. So that is, Fort Campbell has been a major factor from that aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Well, now, when you were growing up here, for instance, there were separate schools for blacks and whites?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what do you remember about, did you ever come in contact with any black people when you were growing up?
Now, I grew up on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, a lot of the farm labor were blacks, and so and not only that, but the household help would be, you know, the cook would be black. So that's when I grew up, it was that type of operation.
Was there ever any trouble in those years?
No.
Was there an accepted agreement on place?
Right, that was the thing, is everybody just accepted what way it was, and there was no problems from either side, blacks or whites.
Okay, yeah. when you came here then in 1956, you came to the new era.
Right.
And this is a parenthetical question. Was it easy to get a job? Was there a job waiting for you here?
Oh,
easy,
yeah,
to get a job with this paper?
Oh, yes. I got the job before I left the Louisville. I had worked here during the summer, one of the times, summer vacation, from when I was in school. So I was familiar. I'd worked a couple of summers at the radio station in covering news. And then
radio station here?
No, WHOP, right. So I was the lucky thing on getting summer jobs. Two summers at the radio station, and then the third summer at the New Era. And so, you know, when I was up at the Courier Journal, and I knew what it was like working, I said, I just believe I'd rather go back to the New Era and go home. That's what brought that about.
And what was your job when you first came here? Not your summer jobs, but
news reporter.
News reporter?
Courthouse and police beats and schools.
Was there any, and incorporating the question of race relations or civil rights, in 1956, now that was 2 years after Brown versus Board of Education, was there anything going on, any fallout from that court case in this area that
you
remember?
Let's see, we were all right in that period, you know, there was much of a movement on integration then. And
there was or was not? What did you say?
There was, yes.
In this area?
Right,
in this part of the country?
Yes. Here I noticed there was a note here on Hopkinsville Schools. The first integration of Hopkinsville Public Schools, that was in September of 58. So you see what the timing is, that's when it was all, that was a major point of it. And then, of course, and that was the first integration in Hopkinsville, 58. But then here is, you can see how long it spread out then, because here is 63.
He's got a newspaper clipping that says, all local schools to desegregate. Hmm. Interesting.
See?
And that's the summer of 63, so that would be for the
see,
fall.
That, that's, you've gone 5 years there.
And did you say they started with the lower grades?
Right.
And gradually took them 5 years to desegregate.
And that was just to start it. Now here is 72.
Oh.
72.
Okay.
and it says schools ask integration delay. And they went to court, went to federal court to have it delayed. The plan had been approved to integrate completely the school system, but the school system wanted it delayed until they had time to work out all the arrangements and everything. But they didn't get it delayed because here's a note: this integration was implemented by November the 1st, 72, so they had to go right on with it. And what happened in all this integration was that they wound up closing all of the black schools. And transferring those students to the other schools that were all white, had been all white.
But now, did you cover this?
I wasn't covering schools much.
You were not covering school desegregation.
Right.
Well, do you, but you lived here and you were a reporter here, and do you remember anything? Anything in particular about this? Do you remember anything you saw or heard?
Well, it was all a very peaceful integration. There was no rioting or major protest or anything. It was handled very smoothly. And the fight was mainly just in the courts, you know, and in that manner, but the blacks they protested quite a bit, closing all those schools, the colored schools, and they wanted to remain, they'd been going there, and they, you know, it was just like doing away with merging Kentucky with Ohio or something, you know. You lose your identity, you lose everything. Let's see, we got 50 states, that's too many. Let's come down to 25 and see what happens then. Who are we going to, hey, we'll merge Kentucky and Tennessee. Well, you think Kentucky would like that? That's exactly what happened on the schools, exactly.
So you're saying that the blacks didn't want to integrate either?
They wanted to integrate, they didn't want to close all. They wanted to merge,
they wanted some of the whites to go to their schools.
Right. Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
They weren't against integration. What they were against was having to go to the white school, close theirs, you see? And every one of the black schools were closed, and the students transferred to the white school. And of course, one thing, you can see why. The buildings are all newer, much bigger, better, everything. And it's just a better situation.
And is that the reason why they closed the black schools and had the blacks come to the white schools? In other words, it wasn't a sort of a pro-white attitude. It was simply better facilities.
Right. Larger, newer, and all, everything. I can see why anybody might think, well, look here, the whites just said they want to keep their school and they'll close it. Well, that wasn't this problem. It was more larger schools, newer schools, in all respects. So everybody came out ahead by doing it that way.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Well, I wondered, why do you think it took from 1958 until 1972 to integrate the schools?
Well, they just, those things you don't just do overnight. That's a trouble. You had to, you had so many problems to work out and opposition on some thing, you know, what do we do? You go and all that kind of thing. And so even here, you see, after they had already, the plan had been approved from everybody concerned on integration completely. To integrate completely the Christian County school system. And so here they're still in court saying, put it off some, you see, because they filed this suit in the U.S. District Court to delay for a year the implementation of the approved plan.
Well, now, who had agreed on the plan, and who was filing the suit to delay it?
Now, the Christian County School System is the one that filed that. And they had approved
the request to delay?
Right.
Okay. And they wanted to delay it because they didn't think they had all the details worked out?
Right. Here, I'll tell you, read you. Look here. The delay in installing the plan is being sought by the Board of Education because of difficulties due to time factors. They didn't have time to make the transfers and getting the new buildings, the buildings realigned and everything. But
who had agreed on the plan? Had they agreed on the plan, but they just thought it was too soon to get
right.
it?
Okay. It had been approved by the school system.
So the plan
right.
was fine.
Now, we're not talking about changing the plan
right.
or anything. All we say is, now when is it going to take effect? That's all, that was the only issue. They went to federal court mm-hmm. and lost out. And
Was there a secret to why this went so peacefully, why it went so well? Because it didn't go well in, and I'm not trying to stir up trouble, but school desegregation did not go well, or did not go easily or peacefully everywhere, but it did here. Now, why do you suppose?
I don't know what.
You think it was the way it was handled?
Probably. I here to just show you on this. The board's plan last school year to close these two black elementary schools, that those are the city's two remaining all black schools, kicked off a storm of controversy and led to the formation of a largely black concerned citizens committee, which fought the move in federal court. Oh, that gives you a clue just exactly. And the board was finally ordered to reopen one of those black schools, which had been closed, and transfer back there the students who had been transferred to other schools.
Did it stay reopened, do you know?
No, it did not. It was
ultimately
just a temporary thing. And that was a major issue. On the integration was having to leave their schools.
Do you know, you said you didn't cover this yourself, but do you know anything about the coverage of the paper or by the paper of this? I mean, you're obviously looking at some articles here, but do you know anything about decisions that were made about what to cover or how to cover
limited to covering the Board of Education meetings where, you know, the issues would be discussed and both sides would be there, and that's mainly what was involved.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear anything about those meetings? The Board of Education meetings?
Well, just not too
not
much.
Not particularly, yeah. Okay. And once this, do you remember once the schools actually integrated, do you remember anything that happened once the black and the white young people went to school together? Did that part go peacefully also? Of course, I realize I'm putting you in a difficult position if you didn't actually cover this.
Well, you know, of course, I was having to look here at some, what is, be hard for, of course, these things you just can't do overnight.
Right.
But, and, you know, it's really now, you think, why did it take so long? I mean, let me show you. Here is one story, all local schools to desegregate. That's 63. That's 63. Then you look over here, 72. 9 years later, schools ask for integration delay. You see, those things, you know, that's the way it goes. They just, so much to work out, and opposition, and making, getting everybody to agree is almost an impossibility. So that's what, but it was a peaceful, I mean, we didn't have any protests or parades or, you know, anything of that nature. It was just all the discussion and argument was at the board meetings and that type of thing. Each side presenting his proposals.
Is that what you would have expected from a community like this? That it would
go
peacefully?
Yeah, because we just hadn't riot. You know, if we'd had a past record of all the problems and fights and whatever, you know, then you'd say, well, gosh, no telling what it'll turn into. But this just continuation of what this community has been, and it was just. It was just strictly a legal fight and prolonged. That's the only, it took forever to get it done, but you don't do these things overnight.
Go ahead.
Okay, on the, any other thing on the schools? Here's, we had several other racial programs. For example, now in 63, see, that's about right in the, when we were in the integration, the city created a biracial human relations commission. The city, that's the city council, and that was in 63, and there's a 15-member commission, and it's work with various community groups and to be set up basically along the lines suggested by this Negro organization that appeared before the council.
What was that?
The organization?
Yeah, that appeared before the
yeah,
council.
Yeah, Progressive Citizens Committee. And this commission then was created, and it's to be a study and advisory group relating to all phases of civil rights problems, but no enforcement power. It will work toward elimination of discriminatory practices, and that continued on for years as a regular city organization.
And has that proved to be a pretty successful?
Oh yes,
that successful was group.
Right. Oh, it was all down through the years. Then it was all centered around this human relations commission on all. And so it was really, that was one of the major things that that helped this community and employment problems, or it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just school situation, but it was public aid and the full aspects. And it even, like, here's an example of it. In 71, then, here we passed this ordinance banning discrimination in the sale or rental of housing. You see, that's just another, and guess who proposed it? Listen, I want to show you. I'll read this. Officials of the City Human Relations Commission, which proposed the ordinance, see? All types, that was commission was a very helpful, that's one of the best things we came up with for the overall look at this. This biracial commission handled problems of biracial nature.
Okay.
And relating to this ordinance that would ban discrimination in the sale or rental of housing, let me tell you, here's I'm quoting from this 71 article, this would be the first significant civil rights legislation against discrimination ever enacted in Hawkinsville. How's that?
Do you remember, in Louisville in the late 60s, just a few years before this, there was a lot of open housing demonstrations going on. Was there anything like that here?
No, there wasn't. Now, this was enacted in 71.
Mm-hmm.
And now, listen, it wasn't unanimous. Here's the city council. Let me tell you, the vote 7-4. So that shows you, we don't have a unanimity at all on this. But because it was controversial. And they said the ordinance was drawn basically with the same provisions as the state open housing law. They copied it, basically.
But it wasn't a result, you don't remember that it was a result of any particular trouble here. It was just that things were going on elsewhere,
right.
And it seemed to be the right time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, do you remember, you said this Human Relations Commission was formed in 1963. Do you remember any public accommodations, sit-ins or anything like that that were going on in other parts of the country? Was there anything like that here?
No. I think, all these advanced steps of forming these, this like the Human Relations Commission and the other steps that were taken, I think that's what, kept the community calm, and we didn't have all the protesting. Most of the arguments were at meetings,
So what you're saying is that Hopkinsville was responding to needs before they got to the,
right.
the point of
protest. Here's an example. Okay, on this, when they passed this open housing measure, listen, more than 100 people, most of them blacks, jammed the council chambers to indicate their support for the open housing measure, you see? And so that's how that worked. But, and then all of, as these things took step, then other relations, racial problems that we had, this gradually changed. For example, we used to have the movie theaters were segregated, There was a section for the blacks to sit in and a section for the whites. Okay, you go in a department store, there were two water fountains, one marked colored, one marked white. That's just, it's been that way forever, and nobody ever thought anything about it. But those things then, as we became integrated, with all these things were dropped. But every movie, I remember the movie, every theater, you know, you had, mainly it was up in the balcony area that was reserved for the blacks. And everybody just accepted them like they had been there all through the year. And then finally, those things just were changed as the whole community was integrated.
Do you remember anybody, any of the people who were in the leadership positions at the time, whether they be the white, say, city council people or any black leaders? Do you remember anybody who might have been responsible for helping to set the tone? Or was it very much of a group effort?
Right, it was mainly...
nothing stands out in your mind.
The mayor approached, and I'll just show you, the mayor pro tem was one of the two blacks on the city council.
So you had black people on city council, what year was that?
From the beginning, we had two, I was going to tell you about that because that gives you a reflects what the community was. Why we didn't have protests and all that, because of that. We've had two blacks from the beginning of this of the city council. That was back in the 40s. The city council started, and now you say, well, how did? Okay, it was they worked it out so that it wouldn't be a problem on elections. You'd say, well, how in the world did the blacks manage to gain election? Okay, we divided the city up into 12 wards, and you only voted in your ward. And so we had two wards that were almost all black, and so naturally, you see, their councilmen were blacks. But now, of course, we have three on. We have a 12-member council, and we have three blacks now. But we've been two or three all the time on membership.
Well, now, you know, you describe this part of the world as Southern in orientation, and yet you're talking about two black members of the city council in the 1940s. Other parts of the South, they were trying to keep blacks from voting. But you actually had two wards with blacks who were allowed to vote and could elect black representatives.
That's the best example of why we didn't have such protests and so forth. You see, the community, we may have had the black, the Southern habits, but it was you could see the difference, and we were enough on the line between North and South that you could see that we weren't deep South and we weren't deep North.
Do you remember any other black officials, say in the 60s? I mean, does anything pop into your head? It doesn't have to be definitive.
I know.
Either elected or appointed?
I can't recall the name, on that commission there, that Human Relations Commission, they took the lead in many of these programs. That was one of the good, you know, to have that agency. They were able to go, you know, into any kind of problem you had, you know, a racial problem,
Now, you said they couldn't, they didn't have any powers of enforcement.
Right.
You said that. So they obviously got the backing from somebody.
But, right. And that was a good thing, because they weren't calling anybody and sending them to court and all. What they did, it was just a persuasive group to work out an agreement. You know, that's so often on these problems, you need somebody at an intermediary to work out an acceptable compromise.
And have there ever been any steps backward?
I think it's all been
sort of move along,
advancing all along. There's no step back. Every once in a while, you think, well, something will turn up, but it would be worked out, and it's we have a record, a good record.
And this newspaper itself. Basically would send people to cover school board meetings, human relation, perhaps council meetings or commission meetings, city council meetings.
Right. And, you know, we had black writers, see, that's a good example. Columns, weekly columns were written by, from people from the black community. So you see, that gives you an example of why this community gained like it did.
Now, when you say writing weekly columns, I mean, does that mean they were they worked out the paper?
Well, they were.
They actually employed by the paper?
No. They just,
they would send in stuff. And
right.
They'd
write a column. And we run it weekly, and it would be all the news from their community, and anything they wanted to put in it on activities and publicity and whatever.
Have you ever had any black reporters on the paper?
Well, now we have there's a sports reporter.
There is, okay.
And. I was trying to think of
Well, that answers the question. You do, then.
I'm sure we've had some, but the sports particularly, because they dominate the sports now, and if you're ever going to have need a black reporter, sports would be the ideal spot.
And what about the schools? And I'm not trying to hammer the schools or focus on the schools exclusively, but have there been any particular outcomes, you know, either good or bad, of over the last, say, 30 years of since the schools have been integrated? Has this given better opportunities to blacks? Have there been any problems? Have there been any successes? Or once again, is it just another sort of slow and peaceful progress?
Oh, and it shows you how it goes. The black high school, which was closed when the integration came about, and of course, just recently now, the black community has acquired that property, and now they are making, revitalizing that school and gonna use it for a community center, I think. And that's ideal, but they've got the property and they are working on as a community center. That'd be ideal. That was the Alex High School.
But there hasn't been a move to resegregate or to
recreate
a black high school
No,
for
no,
identity.
No. They just want to, they thought they want to make use of it as from its historic value as the high school that we had so long.
I'm just curious, what has been the focus of your reporting? What kinds of things have you followed over the years?
Just about everything.
Jack of all trades?
Government, mainly city and county government, and then lately, I mean, for the last few years, I've been desk work. You know, I wouldn't be out covering anything, and I was handling the AP wire and that. We have a good record. You can see that.
Well, I thank you very much.
I don't know whether you gave me much information or not, but
you did.
This really, I think, it really gives a story, you know. Mm-hmm. I was glad to find these clippings. I ran across them. I said, oh my gosh, this is just what I need.
Just what you needed, yeah. Yeah, they've been very helpful. Thank you.